Peace. You're tuned into the Edible Activist Podcast. I am your host and favorite edible activist, Melissa L. Jones. On this show, we feed you empowering narratives and perspectives from the voices of emerging Black people and people of color in food and agriculture who are stewarding the land, healing communities, and advocating for food justice and economic power across the globe. Our rich contributions and stories exemplify the spirit of activism in their own edible way. Let's get started.
My name is Christian Riddick. I'm a garden to table educator. I basically connect people of the African diaspora back to the land. I'm really passionate about people growing their own cultural foods and understanding that you don't have to rely on the system that we're currently in. You know, you can grow at home, and no matter what space you have, I just say, as long as you have the heart to grow, you can find a way to grow. And I'm a testament of that. You know, I didn't grow up in a farmer family. I've lived in like suburbs and cities most of my life. So me, it was just a trial and error, and I figured it out. And I hope I can give you guys some good tips today to help you figure it out as well.
Awesome. Well, you will. You will. Because I have confidence in you. So, Chris, so I have a tiny space and I have a window. And though my father's like, you need to put curtains up, I didn't want to put curtains up because I really like natural lighting. But I get where he's coming from, right? Especially as, you know, a female living in it. Like, I understand. But I want to grow food. I want to feel empowered to grow food or to grow something. And so, obviously, you know, there are the questions of, well, you know, I can grow some, but not enough, right? So, if stuff goes down tomorrow, you know, like, will it be enough supply? Can I grow enough in my tiny space? But we just need to start.
Yeah.
So where am I starting? Where are we starting? Where is the person with the tiny apartment who's, like, seeing all these, like, badass growers? Like, I just want to just start. So where are we starting?
Well, the first place to start is wherever you're getting light. So wherever that is for you, if that's a window, if that's outside on a balcony, if that's the rooftop of your garden, that's where you're starting. Figure out where can I get the most light and where do I actually have space to get things going. This kind of brings me to the first place you can grow, which is your window. And it can be paired with grow lights or it can't, depending on how much light you get. You typically want a southwest or type facing window to maximize light and actually to be able to grow food. If you have that, you have to figure out how much of that light you're getting. So if you're growing something like herbs or leafy greens, you might be able to get away with 3 to 6 hours of sunlight. But if you're growing something like a tomato or like an eggplant in your window, you're probably going to need 6+, more like 8 hours of sunlight. So kind of measuring that and also being cognizant of the fact that when you're growing food indoors and next to a window, if you're doing it inside your window and inside your home, it's always going to be filter light. It's not going to be the same thing as it being outside, but you can still do a lot with that.
Yeah. All right. So what do I need to buy? What am I buying? Or what do I need to buy? And or what do I look for first in my home before going out to buy a ton of stuff? Because y'all are creative. Y'all growers are creative, like literally.
Man, I tell you, I'm growing in a little bit of everything. Honestly, as long as something has drainage holes in it and it can hold water, then you're pretty much good to go. I've grown in containers, storage containers. I've grown in the buckets you get from Home Depot. I've grown in little pots. I've grown in window boxes. So it really depends on what you're trying to grow and how much space that plant needs. So for instance, if you're growing something like a tomato plant, you're going to need at least 5 gallons of the soil to maximize that harvest. But if you're growing herbs, you might only need like 1 gallon of soil. So something that can hold anywhere from 1 gallon to 5 gallons plus is probably what you're looking for. There's a couple of different ways to do it. Like I said, it depends on the space. I find that the garden boxes that kind of hang on the balconies also do well in a window. A lot of the clearances from the window to like the edge is about 4 feet, which is about the size of most garden boxes. Not 4 feet, 4 inches. Yeah.
So, and they kind of just like, is there, how do they attach? Do they kind of just
like sit on? To the balcony or to?
Yeah.
Well, if you're doing it in your window, you can just sit it on the ledge as long as you have enough space. But if you're doing a balcony, you can buy these hooks like off of Amazon. They're real cheap. I think they're like $2 or $3, and you can hook them onto your back balcony. And even if you have like a really wide kind of like balcony ledge or a really thin one, they have the ones that you can actually like adjust to the size of your balcony.
Okay, got it. I hope y'all heard that. So there's a question, Chris. How do we know which way is southwest?
Good question. So one is figure out where the sun is first. And the sun rises in the west, right? Sets in the east. So
kind of. If you're asking me, I don't have an answer for that.
I think that's right. I think that's right.
So whatever you said.
So basically you find out where the sun is, and I can also send resources too on this. You find out where the sun is based off of where your window is. And so if it's kind of like, where is it after kind of midday? Because you don't want something that has a bunch of sun in the morning and then like no sun at night, because that is a shorter period of time on when you actually get the sun. So wherever your window goes to, whatever part of your house is the most light at the end of the day, that's probably where your southwest facing window is. If you get a lot of light in the morning in that window, that means it's probably a north or east facing window.
Okay, so Ray helped us out.
Thank you. Sorry. Yes, rises in the east, sets in the west. Yes. So that shows my point. So if it rises in the east and then it sets in the west, in the morning, the east-facing window is going to get more light. In the afternoon, the west-facing window is going to get more light. So think about that. That's an easy way if you don't want to say, okay, where am I, east, west? So wherever your light is more in the afternoon, that's where you can start.
I mean, because it almost sounds like I just need to like stand outside for like a few hours and just like really figure this out before I start planning stuff.
I always get the directions confused, but yes.
Okay, so Ray, and I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. Is it Rye or Ray? Rye, Ray. I hope I'm pronouncing this right.
That's that Boston education right there.
Yes, use the compass in your GPS or mobile phone too.
That's
we're
a good
have
way
you on the show next time.
Yeah, there are apps for that. There's also other tricks where you can put like a stick in the ground and like figure out. There's compasses and stuff like that, but. You know,
I mean, like, what were our ancestors doing before we had all these applications,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I'm just saying. Okay. All right. And she's from Philly.
Okay. Philly education. I like it. There
we go. I know that's right, right? You better rep yourself. I just live in Boston. I understand that. Philly in the building. That's what's up. So let's talk about some of the things that you have. And again, Chris, this is Chris Riddick of Afrobeats. He has an amazing platform that really, you know, displays the colors of the diaspora when it comes to food. He really gives a lot of tips on growing food and is a proponent for growing food in tiny spaces. I remember when I first met Chris, who is an edible activist alum, he has really always pushed home, you know, it doesn't matter how big or small your space is, everyone has the ability to grow something. Chris, you and I were having a conversation, you know, before we got the show started and just saying how, you know, the food system is already jacked. It's been bad and how it's getting worse. And so I do feel like, too, you know, because social media does this and TV does this, that there's a lot of fear that's being placed into our minds right now. It's just being injected out to us. And so one of the biggest conversations has been around food and food shortages. Right. And so, you know, I think, you know, in real time, I try to laugh at a lot of things. This world feels very weird to me, which is a whole nother conversation. But just hearing about what's going on in the world and like the food shortages, one of my biggest things is I want everyone to walk away feeling empowered that they can do something in this space. But lo and behold, like goodness, like if we are really, if we choose to believe this, right? Because I also have like my other thoughts and opinions around food shortages, because there's an abundance of food, right? There is. But has any of that been even more of a catalyst for you know, growing more, you know, taking ownership, being more empowered to grow more and to utilize every corner, every resource that you have to grow food because of the way that our economy is right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was doing it before the economy started really getting bad and we're at where we are right now, but it's just crazy. The prices, what you paid for, you know, a carrot last year or avocado just a few years ago is not the same price that you're paying today. The price has gone up big time. One, because we're still feeling the effects of COVID. COVID not only disrupted our lives, but it disrupted the supply chain. We realized how fragile our food system really is when we couldn't get fresh veggies and things like that. You know, when you were out there, you know, trying to get seeds, you couldn't even get the seeds you needed because everybody was buying them up. Everybody was panicking, you know.
Yes, have those they were things gone. Yeah. They were off the shelf. Seeds were gone. You could not find a seed on the shelf at the grocery
store. It was that serious. People who I never thought would be gardening were like, all right, let me get these seeds real quick. Like,
yeah, right?
Pissed off. Yeah, they're waking up.
Wow. Yeah. So I want people to walk away feeling empowered, like they can, like they can do something and not feel discouraged because of where they live. And that's very easy to happen. You know, again, folks may not know how to look into getting a local plot, you know, in their neighborhood to grow food for the summertime. You know, they may not think to ask about rooftop. I think about actually where I live. There's a whole rooftop. I'm sure it's not being utilized for anything. So to really tap into other resources that may like be very close to us, like where we live, I think is also another important thing too. Cause now I'm just thinking like, what are they doing with the rooftop up there? They're not growing food. Maybe I can grow some food up there.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to talk about that. And as the second, option for people, rooftops, also ledges outside of your window are great places to grow food as well. It's like free real estate. I know a friend right now, actually, she lives in like a high rise apartment and they have a garden on their rooftop. And what they did was they had the residents come together and have like a little garden team in the apartment building and they manage that space together. My friend, I also work at the National Arboretum with the Washington Youth Garden. And so I have a lot of garden friends and people who are very educated on how to grow food in pretty much anywhere. And so they kind of lead that team in the apartment building, but they're growing all kinds of stuff in there as well. I also grew last year on a ledge using the square garden method. Basically, that is a concept where you take a square foot and you kind of section off your garden bed into different square foot. So you can grow multiple crops all at once. So I was growing Kalaloo, I was growing tomatoes, I was growing strawberries, I was growing sage, all kinds of just different things all in one little garden bed area. And I had enough space right outside my window, right on a ledge to put an entire garden bed.
Oh, wow. We need to see photos. Are there any on your Instagram page, y'all?
Scroll on the Instagram page. I could definitely.
Let's go on Chris's Instagram page. Yes, we're going to have to scroll, but I want you all to see this. And I also want you all to follow Chris, because if you all need any tips on growing indoors at your apartment or just in general, like go ahead and follow Chris. Y'all show me some grace and don't judge all of the many tabs that I have going on. But I think. Give me a thumbs up if you can see my screen at all. Do you see Chris's Instagram screen? Can you guys still hear me? Let's see.
No, they can't. Let me see. Okay, yes. No screen share. We can hear you, but no screen share.
No screen share, you can hear me? All right, guys.
I think I can Can I try sharing? See if that works.
You can try sharing. Yeah, you could try. Sorry, guys. I thought you'd be able to see. I'm trying to do this on the spot thinking that, but y'all looking good. Okay. Sorry, y'all. I think maybe for another time. As I say, I think I might know where I might have messed up, but actually, give me one moment. Let's try this again. Screen share. Can you all see now?
Thank you, Ray.
Can they see?
I don't see anything on my end. Do you want me to try real quick?
I thought you guys would be able to see this. All right.
Let me see.
All right. Sorry, guys. I don't want to waste too much of your time, but I wanted you to see. But you have to go on Instagram. Chris's Instagram page is actually Afro_beats. And I love the richness of his feed. It is freaking amazing. You can see. And he's also on TikTok as well. So if you want to be engaged and entertained, go find him on TikTok because he has some pretty amazing videos there as well. I don't see anything. No, actually, let's see. Oh, we can see.
Okay. All right. Let me know if you can see. I can explain what you're looking at.
I can see.
Okay. So this video in the beginning here, I'll like replay it real quick. So this is a picture of like a video of the balcony. These are different things like spinach, some lettuce, some collard greens. I'm growing right outside my window here, some herbs, and then basically putting on a little cooking demonstration there. But that's one example. So I only have 3 to 6 hours of sunlight on my balcony. So I focus on more shaded brassica crops. So like, you know, spinach, collards, and plants in those families.
Chris, this is so awesome. Okay, I'm really jealous right now. All right, so these are literally hanging on like the ledge of your patio. Like they're somehow, okay, so they're attached. And so they're collard greens. What else are you growing?
Collard greens, spinach. What else I got out there right now? I was playing around with some quinoa, kalu.
Are you serious? This is what I'm talking about, y'all. This is what I'm talking about. Okay.
Let me see if I can get this one is a picture of last year. So this is on the rooftop, like right outside my window.
Wow. So
the tomatoes coming in. I put a little trellis on the side. So for those climbing plants, I even grew a little bean plant on the side.
Trellis in
both ways. Strawberries. As well. I think there's even a better pair. Yeah, there's some strawberries right there.
Okay, so Chris is coming over to my apartment when to set up my balcony. Like, I appreciate you.
As soon as you give me the call.
Okay. One question, and let me know if you can say, what resource do you use to determine what you can grow? Any websites, books, or just reading the seed packets? Ooh. That's a great question, and I'm so glad that you asked that, Ray, because what you had just mentioned that you only focus on like certain crops that I think grow more in like shaded areas. Is that correct?
Yes, just because that's what my space offers, but I grow full sun plants elsewhere. So there's two different types of plants that are edible you can grow. You can either grow partial sun or you can grow full sun. What that means is the amount of light your plant needs to thrive. Some plants don't like to have 6+ hours, 8 hours of sunlight. Those are your cool weather plants. You know, like I was saying before, collards don't like necessarily too much heat. What are some other ones? But basil, on the other hand, is a full sun crop that likes a lot of heat. Mint doesn't like too much heat, but it thrives in like 3 to 6 hours.
So lead us. Okay, well, first, let's make sure we answer Ray's question about some resources.
Yeah, I'm pulling up one of... okay, so this is a good one. Good author. Here we go. This is my favorite one right here. I've learned so much game from this book. This is how I started building those self-watering containers. It's called The Vegetable Gardener's Container Bible. by Edward C. Smith. Absolute gem.
Okay. That's a resource for you, Ray, and everyone else. Okay. You swear by this.
Swear by it. Swear by it. I stole all my good stuff from him.
That's awesome. So Lita says she's in full sun. So
okay. Full sun. So sky's the limit. Honestly. Yeah. I mean, there's some things you don't want to put out in full sun, like I was mentioning before. It will say on the seed pack. I got my seed box right here. So something, here's a little pro tip to do. If you can find a recipe box and convert it into a seed box, that is definitely the move. That's what this is. So this right yes. here is
open a, it up and like put it in the camera. I think you. I've seen this. You've talked about this before.
Yeah. So this is a recipe box my mom had and my dad had since like the 70s or 60s. And I took it and converted it into a seed box. So when you open it, there's overflowing of seeds in there. So it's kind of like organized by the type of seed it is, how it grows. Well, it's organized to me, but if you saw it looking at it, they'll probably like
in your eyes.
So here, I just wanted to pull something out just to kind of show you. All right, so Southern Exposure Seed Exchange on the back of there. Seeds, they tell you everything you need to know in detail. So one thing you're looking for is the sun requirement. So this says full sun for the light. So that means this needs to be in a full area that's at least 6 to 8 hours of sunlight. That's an example of that. Most fruited vegetables, so I like to think of like watermelon, tomatoes, eggplants, anything that has like holds a lot of fruit or water is you're going to need full sun for. So 6 to 8 hours. Leafy greens, herbs, that's when you're usually going to find your more 3 to 6 hours.
Chris, are you telling me that I can grow watermelon in my apartment?
Definitely. I've seen people do it. It's all about lighting and then strategy. A lot of people think, you have to have a large cover area for a watermelon. You can actually grow watermelon vertically. It very much can climb a little bit as well. So it depends on what the variety is. They also have a great tip for container gardeners, for tiny apartment gardeners, is to buy the baby or dwarf versions of certain plants. So something like eggplants can take up a lot of space, but I have this variety of eggplants called Little Prince. I think it's by Renee's Gardens. They called it, it's a dwarf eggplant. So basically instead of the full, eggplant, it's more like closer to a ball or like a tomato shape, but it's still an eggplant. And some people don't even like eggplants like that. So if you're like, I want a little eggplant, but not too much, that's a perfect variety for you.
Oh my goodness gracious. So can I tell you, I'm so glad, Chris is like freaking hilarious, y'all. But you make a point, not everybody likes eggplant. When I tell you, I never used to like eggplant. I was not an eggplant person unless it was like literally like fried and like dyed and like crispy eggplant, like delicious. Or I like the eggplant like really oily, like put all the oil in my eggplant, probably stuff that I don't need. Give me all the oil, season it very well, and I'm good to go. But I have to shout out my aunt, shout out to Mississippi, who makes the most amazing like eggplant tomato stew. And I fell in love with eggplant. Like, I love eggplant. And I'm hoping that this is a plug for three-part Harmony Farm in D.C. I'm part of their CSA. And I think I've been seeing eggplant. And I really hope that those have been hints of what I'm getting in a box tomorrow. But I could be wrong. I'm just saying.
I think it's on the up and up. Honestly, eggplant is a great meat substitute. You could definitely kind of flavor it up and season it how you want to. I've seen people do some crazy stuff with eggplant.
I know Tiff said, baby, love me some eggplant. I do too. I love eggplant. Let's go back to Ray. So what kind of pest issues do you run into and what do you do about it? Oh, gosh.
So great question. One of the benefits of doing apartment gardening is you actually don't get nearly as many pests as you would if you were growing in ground somewhere. I work at the youth garden and we're dealing with all kinds of stuff, raccoons, deers, beetles, all kinds of stuff. It's like a wild, safari out there. But when you are dealing with pests in your garden, so let's take my balcony garden, for instance. The answer is yes, you do deal with pests just like anything. If you're inside versus outside, it might be different. Inside, you're probably dealing more with fungus gnats, which can be solved by making sure you're not overwatering and also getting sticky paper. It's just part of the game a little bit. Is like you may get fungus gnats here or there, but you can really mitigate that by making sure you're doing the right things in the first place. And then outside, me and the birds are having a little beef right now because sometimes they like to take stuff. It depends on what they like. Some people, I think my next door neighbor, I live in a high-rise apartment. They have different levels where they're trying different things. I have gardeners above me, and then I have some people on the other side who are basically training birds. I don't know what's going on there. They have a whole bird feeder on their window and attracts birds, and then birds, when they're done feeding over there, they come and look, oh, what you got over there? What you got over there? And I'm like, come on, man. But one thing that's helped, birds, when you're dealing with balcony gardens, because birds are like, oh, this is a city, like there's not much growing here, but there's something growing here, and your garden sticks up like a sore thumb. But one thing I did to deal with the birds is I did a row cover. So what happens when you're out of town, you're not really able to look at your garden and you want to make sure it's protected, just put a little white row cover over it and just clip it with some like binder clips or something like that, I love that, training birds. I'm learning to make friends with the birds. I'm learning to like grow things that they might like, especially if they're great pollinators, like hummingbirds. I like to grow flowers that attract them as well, because that's just great for any garden.
Thank you for asking that question, Ray, because one thing that I haven't thought a lot about, birds are the homies. Yes. Yes. What up, Jen? An Edible Activist alum. Shout out to Jen in the building. What up, Cleveland. Girl? Yes. But we don't, I'm so glad that she asked that question, because when we think of pests, we don't just think of like, the tiny like insects that could, ruin your plants. I'm going through that right now. I'm like, what's going on with my plants? There's a big tree right outside of my apartment, mm-hmm. literally, so the birds, they're on my little, I ain't even a patio, y'all. I don't know what the heck it is. This is a railing. There are no patios in DC. Unless you pay like $30 million for one, right. But it's a railing, okay? But, there's a big tree right outside my window. And so I keep my patio door open all the time. But, there are insects and they love your plants and they love your herbs. And they're like sitting right there. So that's actually a great question, because when we talk a lot about pests, when we do, we're talking about, those pesky raccoons or, the groundhogs, which shout out to Jennifer. She sent me a video of the groundhog all up in her greens the other day. Wow. You talk about the worms, those little icky, gritty green things that latch on to your vegetables, but pests inside the home when it comes to like those little gnats, like that is a thing. And so, I'm so glad that you asked that question. I saw another question.
I did too.
As well,
got it.
For your leafy greens and herbs, first of all, what up, Joy? It's Joy. Joy, what up, Joy? Do you germinate indoors and then transfer outside?
Great question. Yeah, as much as I can start under grow lights, I do that. Absolutely. Because especially when you're growing in low light situations, a way to deal with avoiding leggy plants is to have strong plants as starters. Also, when people are starting off with gardening or you have a low light situation, I always encourage people to just get transplants if they can. And not worry about starting from seed, because what happens is those plants have been cultivated to start off very strong and have a solid foundation. So when they grow in like difficult situations, they do that much better. I also encourage people, if they are only growing through window and have that filter light coming in, definitely start it under grow lights. Don't try to start it in the window, because it's a filtered light. They're going to stretch for that light and it's not going to be as strong as it would be for the sun.
Good answer.
Appreciate it.
So, Chris, you're coming. You're coming out with your tutorial on growing food in tiny spaces when?
Yes.
Because I'm waiting.
Very soon, actually. So when people get a hop off this, go head over to afrobeats.org, and there's going to be a whole course that's coming out soon.
Yes. So. Y'all heard that? Was that exclusive on Edible Activists?
That's an exclusive drop on Edible Activists.
Yes. Let me tell y'all. A lot of exclusive stuff has been dropped on Edible Activists, whether folks want to give me credit or not, okay? Because I have interviewed some really dynamic people who have gone on to do some really great things. So it's been a lot of exclusive guests and advice. So, but we'll be looking out for that. That's actually what's up, though. That really is. Because even for someone like me, I do feel bad. I'm having a transparent moment. Like, I have these beautiful plants. Shout out to Cultivate the City, where I got my plants from. I love them. But I do know that I can be growing more indoors, but I really do feel encouraged, Chris, to utilize my ledge, because you see other people doing it. And they're actually neighbors like around the corner. Like, that's where their ledge is like lit, literally like lit. So I want my ledge to be lit.
Yeah.
Who else wants their ledge to be lit? I want mine to be lit. So when people walking by, they're like, oh, she's growing all sorts of yummy things out there. Yes, I am. Just don't come
We gotta have ledges popping. Honestly, that's how we avoid this crisis. You know, if everybody's growing a little bit here, a little there, not everybody has to grow everything. It's about community and figuring out, okay, you're growing sweet potatoes, you're growing collard greens, you're growing okra. Let's grow these things. Let's become masters of our own crops and then exchange with each other. And then growing our own food gets us more connected to the land, and that brings more value to the community gardens, to the farmers and the farmers market. You know, once you start growing one thing, you're like, all right, what else can I eat that's fresh, that's cultivated with hands of love, you know? And so people think, oh, when everybody starts growing their own food, you're not longer going to meet the farmer. And that's not true. It's the exact opposite. It's like you have a deeper appreciation for what they do and how they cultivate the land. So yeah, it's super important.
That was so beautifully said. I do have to go back to let's get ledges popping. So, yes, let's shout out to ledges. Let's get our ledges popping. But you're so right. And it's everything that you said is just really just spot on. So, again, I'm hoping that everyone listening feels inspired, feels encouraged to just grow something, especially if you're living in a very tiny space, or maybe you're living in a home and your space is, you know, very tiny. You don't have much to work with. But there are folks who are working their spaces out. All right. And the other point that you made, Chris, just it's about community. You know, I think back to, you know, many conversations that I have with my grandmother. I got to shout out Grandma Catherine in Mississippi, who hails from Alabama. And, you know, she often, you know, we often have conversations about how community isn't like what it was when she was coming up, because they made sure that their neighbors were fed. So, you know, it was really an exchange. It was an exchange of love, and it was an exchange of food, and it was community coming together. And so you're right. Like, I can't grow everything. But, you know, if I'm cultivating, you know, really great relationships with those around me and they're doing something, like, that is a community. And there's an exchange there of food, love, conversation. So we need more of that in this very weird, weird, weird world and times. And even myself can do better, you know, but it's weird out here, y'all. But I'm grateful for folks like Chris, who I think has just been, like I said, like the strongest proponent, has always pushed for, like, you have the bare minimum, you can do something. So I appreciate all those tips. We are going to wrap up in just a few moments, so don't y'all go anywhere. If there are any other questions, go ahead and drop them in the chat. Y'all have been so awesome. Thank you for loving up on me, loving up on Chris, this whole show. But so what I learned, Chris, is that, you know, I need a pot, some sun, or according to Ray, look at the compass in my GPS, wherever the heck that is. Okay, Ray, thanks for that. And some water. I could potentially grow watermelons. I can grow an egg. Can I grow an eggplant?
Absolutely.
I grew eggplant in the window. Tomatoes. And let me just say, and I know all y'all have had a homegrown tomato. Once you've had a homegrown tomato, there's no going back.
No. Can't stand tomatoes out of season anymore. It's not even the same.
It's not even the same at all. And what else? Give me a couple more things. Like, yeah. let us know what you've been growing, what you've grown, and then we're going to wrap up.
I did want to give one more, because I think I've given you three technical ways to grow. And the last one is something new I've been kind of going on, is actually you don't need any space at all to grow food. You can actually grow on other people's property. And something I've been really investigating and seeing what programs are out there. There's actually a lot of programs in the DC area that are available for people. So right now I'm growing at this elementary school called Seton Elementary. And I did it through a program that Aussie put on. They have a nutritional program. And basically it's called Shared Roots. Basically school gardens are the most underutilized spaces during the summer. Teachers are begging people to basically take over their gardens and maintain the gardens during the summer. And there's nobody really to enjoy it besides the community. And so what Aussie did was they created this program called Share Roots. People have community gardens, people have school gardens. It's like, hey, we need some volunteers. Can you help us? They get people from the community. It's like, hey, do you want to grow here for the summer and maintain the garden? That's basically what I'm doing. I don't have full sun on my balcony. This is the least amount of space I think I've ever had. And I'm still figuring out ways to grow outside of this. So it's been incredible. I wanted to give three ways you can grow on someone else's property and you should look into. One is the community garden. The community garden is the best spot for the starting off point. For instance, at the Washington Youth Garden, we have a rule. If you work, you eat, basically. And not only that, you also have like master gardeners who are basically working there. So while you're working, you're also picking up tips and tools and how to do everything. And you're limiting your learning curve by like years by working at these community gardens. So that's one. School gardens, like I said, teachers are begging to get their kids outside in the garden, but they can't do that if the garden isn't maintained through the year. So check out the Aussie program. If you get a chance, I think they'll do it next year again. And then last one, and I wanted to give a shout out to you and one of your podcast episodes, because I learned about churches. Churches are one of the most underutilized lands, and it's desperately needed in those congregations. I want to shout out the Black Church Food Security Network. What they're doing over there is incredible, and they're really building that network, that system, that community. So those are three ways you can grow food without even having space at all. So like I said, you just need the heart to go and seek those resources out pretty much.
That is phenomenal. And yes, let's shout out Pastor Heber Brown, who is also an Edible Activist alum. I've had him on the show before. Thank you for referencing that episode. And I look forward to having Pastor back on, because the amount of land land at Black churches combined is like crazy. And so he's been doing some incredible work, him and his team. I believe during our last conversation that we had, that they were working on just like this whole bank of documenting like how much land is available at Black churches. And as someone who grew up going to a Black church and mega church, okay, even more specifically, like that land is not being used to grow food. And so I am so glad that you highlighted that. I definitely want to bring Pastor back on to unpack that more, but absolutely. So yes, so we have ways to grow food in our tiny little spaces, and if you have no space at all. So I appreciate that. Makes me just want to go knock on my neighbor's door and be like, can I get to your rooftop and just grow a little something, something. So yeah. Chris, where can folks, I dropped your IG in the chat, but I want folks to be able to find you wherever you are, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, all those great places, because they need to remain in touch and follow all the goodness that you're doing.
Yeah. So two main things. One, go to afrobeats.org, sign up for our mailing list. That'll give you all my social medias. That'll give you free information on how to start your own container garden at home. And then next one is to check out the podcast, the Afrobeats podcast. It's on all streaming platforms. Melissa, I'm finally going to get you in there. You've already technically been on it, but I really want you on there for real, and we'll chop it up. But yeah, we're kicking off the podcast. It's going to be amazing.
Awesome. Thank you all so much. I appreciate y'all for tuning in. If you have not subscribed to my YouTube channel, go to Food Talks and Color on YouTube and hit that subscribe button. Like this video. It makes a world of a difference. Share it. I actually have over 100 subscribers now, y'all. I just launched YouTube, so I'm super excited about this. I have a goal. I want to hit that 1,000 mark. But every day, if you guys continue to share this great content, subscribe if you haven't, please do so. So I appreciate you all. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Food Talks in Color. The Edible Activist Podcast is live on YouTube every other Monday. So the next show is going to be on Monday, July 25th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right. So make sure to hit the notification button once I get this scheduled on YouTube and be there. So otherwise, Chris, I appreciate you. You are my friend. And I'm also going to be tapping you to come help me over my tiny space because I'm really serious. And y'all hold me accountable. Ask me next time, Mel, what are you growing in your tiny space? Hold me accountable. All right? Thanks for tuning in. You can catch today's episode on iTunes, Spotify, and Simplecast. And be sure to follow us at Food Talks in Color. That's just the letter N on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And did you know we are on Patreon? This is a way for you to take action and support our mission of amplifying BIPOC voices on the Edible Activist Podcast. Visit patreon.com/foodtalksincolor to learn more. Peace and blessings. And remember, in the great words of Baba Tariq Adunu, there is no culture without agriculture.